three. Here.
Are you listening?
It's Anything and Everything with Mel.
Damn.
We were talking about how if you think, you know, if you believe in it hard enough, it happens.
Yeah.
Do you think that do you think our brains somehow, if the placebo effect maybe has an effect on reality?
Yeah, but there's a limitation. I mean, there's always a ceiling with the human condition, you know, but I do.
I 100%, believe in that. It's like when people are like in toxic relationships and that's a placebo effect on themselves. And when they think this toxic relationship is still going to be great for them, but they know it's bad and like they kind of placebo themselves into still staying within that toxic relationship.
But there's like some souls are at different levels of growth than others. So like some souls, no matter what, you know, information you give them, they're going to have to learn and fail. And to learn, you know, like,
of course,
a lot of people learn by pain. The pain is the best teacher, the most instantaneous teacher. But, like, you know, placebo effects as far as, like, you know, it's like, oh, well, do I feel like I'm under the influence of something? Do I feel, I mean, I don't know, that's...
Like, when Jim Carrey talks about how...
Yeah.
And famous people, you know, talk about how they really focused on their dream and kind of pictured their
made
dream.
Made it a reality, yeah.
And, you know, they didn't just sit on the couch, you know, of course.
Right.
And, but
they chipped away.
Yeah, I mean, is that kind of like... In a way, that's what you guys have been doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Your focus determines your reality, no doubt. I mean, there are some things, though, like I said, there's ceilings. Like we would have loved to be successful, more successful at this point, but there's ceilings in the rock and roll world right now that have nothing to do with us. It's like the genre as a whole is not successful right now. So that's a ceiling we have to deal with. That's a limitation that we can't help.
Yeah, it's a much different thing. Like, because Justin and I are big basketball fanatics, so like a lot of times I'll put it in like a basketball sense. It's crazy because like rock and roll or music in general, even, you know, acting to an extent, like a lot of like, I guess, entertainment, you know, in general,
has been revolutionized due to the internet.
Well, yeah, due to the internet, due to, you know, like the internet kind of killed a lot of those arts and killed the sales in them, so therefore not as many people can be the artists, or it's not really about, or technology in general is taken away from being an artist. It's not really about being an artist, it's more about being a face and a bunch of these other things. So for, you know, you look at these great bands, like, you'd be shocked at how many of the bands I've seen, like, on tour that I think are better than the bands that, you know, I listen to a lot of bands that I end up touring with, and these bands are better than a lot of the bands that you hear on the radio. It's crazy to me. Or, like, you know, artists that you hear on the radio in general. So, you know, it's crazy that there isn't, like, with basketball or, like, sports, it's very clear cut. If you have talent, you're going to be, you know, you're going to make it onto your varsity team.
Yeah, but it's...
And then you're going to get picked into a college, and then you're going to get picked into a draft pool. And it's just clear cut on your talent. And with, I mean, definitely does it take a lot of work. Hell yeah. Like, I'm not trying to take away their work. It's just, but it's different because if you have the talent and you're a hard worker, you're there. With us, if you have the talent and you're a hard worker,
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
A lot
like,
of it
it's
is luck,
like 100%, 100%. Like, it's more about who you know than ever. Like, before, it's like, and that used to be a phrase, like, it's who you know, but, like, at this point, it's like, if you don't know somebody, there is no chance of success. There is none. Like, you won't get it. And that's unless you're playing to the current trend, you know, unless you're a rap artist right now or a country artist or a pop punk artist, you're not gonna have that ease of use and ease of access to that world. To me, I think the hardest dreams and the most intense dreams are the ones that perhaps take the most time. And especially with us, it's like we're not trying to be. You know, necessarily like a scene type of band, like a 1,000 capacity band. We're trying to be the Foo Fighters reincarnated. You know, we're trying to be like a massive rock band that speaks to people through song and allows people to get away from, I guess, the stress of being a human being for just a small amount of time, or hopefully relate to the stresses in their life to the point where they look at it and go, okay, I'm not the only one here. That seemed to be where music was special to me growing up, and I think if we can do that, if we can bring people to that place in their life where they not only engage in the music, but also allow the music to influence their decision-making in a positive way, that's where the magic's at to me. It's this band is not just a musical experience for us. It's a platform to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always what it's going to be. So
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing about
us. Back to like the whole, you know, who you know type thing. It's, you know, every time we go out on tour, management, label, booking agent, make friends with this guy. You know, it's kind of like real grimy. It's like fake friends. Yeah, everybody there is fake friends, and like, you know, just, I really hate it.
Everyone uses everyone.
Yeah, and it's like you use it, like you're friends with them to use them in a sense. And like, to me, like, we're really fortunate, you know, because like we do have these friends in this band called Ice at the Kill. It's bigger than us, you know. So when like we ask them like favors, like, you know, they want to hang out, like we're like best band friends. So it's like, you know, if they're on tour, they're staying at my house. We're all hanging out. Cool. It's like a good time. We spent, you know, a lot of time with them on the road. So, you know, they brought us back out to Mexico. They want to bring us out again this year. Cool. And it's just like, that to me doesn't feel grimy. That's really just like friends enjoying each other's music.
You do make that once in a while. Yeah, in the industry, it's like you'll find those people that are genuine, you know?
Yeah, and so like those are the contacts I like making more than like the, hey, how you doing? Here's some BS small talk. Now let me pitch to you what I hope I can get.
Yeah.
And I hate that factor so much. Like, yeah, so, and it's weird because sometimes that people think that's what they're trying to do or what you're trying to achieve, and maybe sometimes you're just trying to achieve a friendship with that person because you do actually like them, but they may be so much bigger than you that, you know, they're scared of that, because at the same time, like, you know, everybody in the world's asking them of a favor at the moment. It's everyone in the world. It's ridiculous. And then they have you hit it from all angles, like, well, our manager's going to hit him up. And I feel bad for some of these people. It's like, our manager's going to hit him up.
They get bombarded.
Our label's going to hit them up. Everybody, hit them up right now. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so yeah, it's weird. It's like a gang jump up and like everybody circles like, are you going to put us on this tour?
Yeah.
Hey, man, are you gonna post about our album on your Instagram? Yeah, like, it's really weird to me. And I don't like it. Cause like, but I hate it because that's how it is at the same time. Yeah, like, you know? Yeah.
It's one of those businesses, man, that like it kind of, unfortunately, takes you away from the things that you want to do as a purist. It's like, you know, you don't want to think like that, you know, especially us. It's like we strictly and only really care about the music. The business is so beyond what we care about, but we have to care about it to a degree, because there is a level of it that it's like, okay, well, if we don't care about it to some degree, then our art will never be heard. These songs that we believe in will never get to the masses. So, you know, at some points you have to bend, but not musically, you know, business-wise, it's like that's what you have to start being more of an entrepreneur, and you have to start having that entrepreneurial mind. And if you have that mindset, luckily Kamran's kind of been that for us, and he's really good at it. I'm not really
the drive
that,
behind like
behind marketing.
Networking.
Yeah, it's like I've always been like the musical dude, and so that's, you know, I'm good for an idea occasionally marketing wise, but like, you know, it's primarily him, and that's been our successful I don't know, like, partnership in a way, is like in a business sense. Beyond our friendship, we have something that, you know, it's like we have a dream and a goal, a common goal in mind, and we want this to work, so we try to work together as like as a basketball team would. And you know, the bread and butter, the songs, are nothing without the duality of having somebody that cares about them enough to try to get them out to, you know,
the
people.
Also care about the people in it as well. Like, you know, we've been really selective, going through like some member change stuff recently, and you know, to me, it's just, I want someone that wants to play for me. They're playing this song because they want my success, and I'm playing this song because I want their success. Like, you know, we're all playing for each other, because if not only, like, if I play bad, am I mad about, like, myself, letting myself down, I'm mad about letting my friends down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like, it's, like, in the, like, I pick up weird leadership skills from all kinds of things. Like, you know, favorite basketball players that maybe had, like, a way that they led their team to some success. Or, like, you know, in, like, the new Power Rangers movie, like, they can't morph until they're working as a unit, as a team. Because they're all just random kids, kind of, that ended up in this situation. And that's how it is being in a band sometimes. There's a bunch of random people that end up in this situation. And one of the lines are really cool, because like one night one of the guys goes, hey, let's have a bonfire, you know, like all of us, let's just kick it, you know, try and get, you know, maybe we can't morph, not because, you know, we don't actually know, we aren't really friends, you know what I mean, we're all just here. And then they all start, like, you know, opening up to each other, telling each other secrets, you know, their most personal things they never released to anyone or whatever. And then one of the girls says, you know, I don't even want to do this, like, are, you know, like, because, you know, is this all fake? You know, are we, like, are we still going to be these kind of friends later on, or are we these friends right now just because we're Power Rangers? And that's kind of how it is with the band, like, you know, it's, you have members come and go, and it kind of sucks, because then afterwards, like, oh, you were only friends with me because...
Yeah,
you saw us as an opportunity. That's what it
like,
becomes sometimes.
And sometimes, like, you know, like, one of my best friends is Christian Navarro. I've played with music with him since I was, you know, 14 years old. And, you know, even to this day, like, him and I went snowboarding the other day, and, like, I brought that up to him, and I'm like, you know, it's really cool, because sometimes, you know, like, we've had tons of members in and out, other than me and Justin and Ryan, for the most part, that it feels like that, you know, that these people are here just because you guys are in a band together, and it's not because you're friends. And I don't want it to be like that. So for me and Christian, when him and I were talking about that, he was telling me about, you know, some past bands, current bands, whatever it may be. And he was like, you know, sometimes I feel like that's how it is with these people I'll jam with. Like, the only reason why we hang out is because I'm, like, a really good drummer. Mm-hmm. And that sucks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the kid that we have playing drums with us right now, like, I hung out with him a zillion times this summer. That's pretty much how he ended up, like, trying out. We were at a concert together, and he goes, hey, he's like, can I play drums? I'm like, yeah, I didn't make you play drums, but, you know, yeah, you're my friend. So I guess I'll let you try. Like, it was literally cool. Because he was my friend, and I felt bad, and I didn't want to say no to my friend.
Yeah, and he came over and, like, outplayed us for, like, the whole night, you know? It was like, what?
That's awesome.
Like, he, I mean, I would say that, like, he, in my life, he's kind of re-sparked the passion I had when I was, you know, 20 years old. And that's something that you can only get from a 19-year-old drummer. Like, you can, I mean, I feel like at this point, if we had somebody that was 27 in the band, you know, it's an opportunistic idea and approach usually when you're 27. It's like, you when you're 27, you're done fucking around. You want a band that's established. Yeah. You want an opportunity that's going to make sense to you and work out, because you've obviously been fighting it out for years at that point. But he's fresh. He's young and he's hungry. And we're no different in ethics still. Like, we still retain that ethic. So it's like, man, he's the guy. You know, it's that missing link. That's
kind of,
like,
see, like, yourself in him and you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so much
that's
so.
That's cool.
And, like, his favorite artist of all time is Elvis. And
yeah, you don't hear that from a 19-year-old kid.
Wow.
Now,
he has an Elvis collection, like, Cameron's CKY collection. Like, it's a
oh
deep,
my gosh.
He has, like, plates and mugs.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, we're talking about, like,
weird,
an honor. And then his second favorite band is Green Day, and his third favorite is
Band
Open Your Eyes.
Yeah,
so
he's been coming to our show since he was like 10 years old.
11,
so.
Yeah, I think he was 11 when he said, yeah. So
there's nothing he wants more than for that you guys and everyone to succeed. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
And now that he's a part of it, we were talking about that the other day. Me and him, he's like, man, I just can't believe I'm a part of this. Like, I'm so excited. I always, like, you know, like, love the lyrics, love the music, all that, and it's an opportunity for him. Beyond just oh cool, it's something cool. It's like, no, this is like mind blowing for him.
Yeah,
you know,
bet.
To be in a
I
band
bet.
That he's loved for this long.
That's this also goes into the aspect of it too. Is like, you know, for the most part, you know, I mean, Justin's more to himself, but even he does know a lot of people to a good degree. You know, they come up to the shows, but me, like, I'm online talking to people all the time. So to me, like, I don't know. I want to get to know my fans as well, because I hate the business factor. Be like, buy my CD.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're putting out this new CD. You better buy it so we can chart good on Billboard and we can get on better tours. Like,
yeah.
That shit's kind of weird to me. So, like, me, like, there's a bunch of fans that, like, I follow on social media. And, like, I'll do live videos on my Instagram because I'm bored. And we'll just talk. And, like, I'll play, like, some of our new songs. And, like, I like to get to know these people personally as well. Because, like, I feel like they feel like they know me so personal. Because I'm in a band, I have to have social media. I have to put all my life out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to get to know these people on a personal level, too. Like, you know, like, what have they invested? You know, why do they like me? What do I want to find out about them? And there's tons of them now, dude. It's just so many people that I like I said, you know, the kid is playing with us now, he's one of those people. He was a fan that went to every show. Eventually he made his own band, and, you know, he's like, can you please come to my show, I'll buy a ticket and everything. And I'm like, yeah, dude, just like, I'll come out, when is it? And, you know, because I wanted to see what his life was like. I wanted to, you know, see, you know, what are we kind of, you know, planting to other kids.
Yeah.
And even this year, I posted on Facebook, I'm like, hey, does anyone want to skate? And he goes, I skate. He was like, you know, can I come with? Of course, you know, whatever, like, it can't hurt, like, And I skated with him, and, like, we built this good friendship. So to me, you know, then we brought him out on tour with us to work for us, because him and I had become friends from it. And, you know, I put his band on some shows then. And, you know, that's just the thing. Like, you know, why would you not want to get to know these people? I mean, the creepy people, stay away.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of genuine people out there that don't want you just because they like your art. I mean, sometimes it's like I said, you know, they want to know they want to be friends with you, not just because they're obsessed with your band, but because their artist spoke to you, because your artist spoke to them so much.
Yeah. On a personal level.
That they want to, like, see, they want to know.
They want to know who you are and, like,
who the man behind the mask is.
Yeah.
You know?
If Michael Scott from The Office made music, everyone would want to hear him just because of how, you know, lovable of a character he is.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah, of course.
I feel like, honestly, if you guys got that, you know, Athel Radio back on, you guys are good talkers, really good talkers.
Oh,
I feel like
thanks.
You guys alone can get just. If you guys had a side podcast that you guys just talked and bullshit,
like,
with each other,
it's funny that you say that. Like,
people would get to know you on a personal level, and that really, I feel like the music alone, like, think about it, you know what you write, okay, you guys can be a little conceited here for a second, because you know that the lyrics that you write and the way that you guys sound is 100% not only professional sounding, but on another level. It's something like your lyrics are reaching out to people, just like how I want my podcast. Like, you're informing people and giving them those giving them those things they seek desperately that they don't even know they maybe sure, seek you yeah, know like advice and
so, I mean sometimes when I listen to a record I cry
yeah
out of just like thankfulness that I can't believe this is my band and these are songs that yeah. you know the
honestly
lyrics came out of me but then other times I listen to it and I'm like this is pathetic you know what I mean so like this is the worst piece of shit I've ever heard what am I doing
yeah. writing
music like this. So it's like I have literally 50% of my life is one, 50% is the other. It's like some days I feel like we're gonna be the biggest band in the world, no doubt. And then other days it's like, man, we're gonna be lucky to sell 10 copies of this next yeah. record. Like it goes that extreme.
Yeah.
But that anything great will push you to those extremes. It's like it makes sure that you're right in the right where you need to be.
For sure. It's like our two favorite basketball teams right now. Like Justin's a big Lakers fan. I'm a big Magic fan. It's two teams. You know, like the Lakers obviously have like a great like. They've won so many championships, and the Magic had a winning record their entire career until, like, the past 5 years, and I feel the same way. So,
yeah.
like, we feel the same way, too. Some days, like, hey, we're going to text each other, well, check out my rookie. Look what we're going to do. And then we both just have to shut up eventually because our teams both suck.
They eventually start blowing it hard. Like, so hard, you're like, oh, we're on a 9-game losing streak. I should probably stop being hopeful.
imagine, though, the songs that you do have, like, all it takes is one person who comes across some of your music and shares it
that
and likes
of course,
and
yeah.
who has millions of viewers, and you can wake up one morning with 100,000 new followers.
And that's the encouraging side. The discouraging side is that needle in the haystack has not been found yet.
Yeah.
So like
or it's been teased. Like there's like, a lot of power that like us,
yeah.
you know. And
but it's like, oh, you guys are almost there, but like we're not quite fully ready to take you on it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, we've had big labels hit us back, like, oh man, you guys are really, really good. Like we really like it.
A,
like
major
labels,
record deal was almost there this year.
You know, we'll keep our eye on you. You know, they're like watching us develop, and it's like, when is the point that
true. I mean, but it's probably because to them in a marketing sense, as of right now, what is the songs that are selling?
That is a response.
Gucci Gang stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
That is a response we get more than any. Is it happens quite often, which is surprising too. Like, and we never usually. I've only gotten from one person where they're like, I really just don't like this, and it was really heartbreaking to me because it was an A&R that I really looked up to. The guy that signs bands to a label is the A&R of a label, so this A&R I really looked up to, and he just shot it down every single time, like hated everything about it. But
mm-hmm.
most of the time, we get a response like, guys are really good,
mm-hmm.
really different, but we just don't know what to do with
yeah,
you. Like, we don't know how to market this
like,
right now.
Not probably a studio that takes, like...
I mean, and there's no middle ground with our sound. It's like, the bands that sound like us are, either, like, the bands that we could tour with are, like, the Black Keys or Cage the Elephant. You know, we're talking, like, thousands of cat rise against...
Those are the only categories you fit into.
5,000 cat, yeah, Day to Remember, maybe, kind of, but, like... There's just like it's either, you know, like Escape the Fate, you know, club bands or
mm-hmm.
that. And it's like, well, where's the, you know, it's either amphitheaters or
yeah,
or
it's
or
weird.
Small
like,
clubs.
When you look at bands that draw, it's like there's the bands that do like, you know, the zero to like, or I guess like there's the bands that start doing from 50 to like 200 people.
Yeah.
After that, they jump up to being a band that draws about 1,000 people.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
And then
after that,
it's like 5,000.
Yeah,
you know?
Max.
There's a couple bands that'll do like 2,500, but like
yeah.
there are divisions
and
of
then,
power.
After that, there's no like, you know, all right, maybe there's a band that might draw 10. That's rare. You know, that's very rare. That's probably the rarest
like
one.
Like
a band that'll draw like
style.
10
yeah.
grand. Well, Avenged draws more than 10 grand now, but yeah, I mean... They,
in certain places?
Yeah, for, you know, the most part, they do like, you know, the United Center type shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's the thing. It's like, there might be a band like Rise Against where there'll be like some markets that'll draw 10,000 people. And that's one of those few bands where it's like, they really sit in like this 10,000 mark, and then it just goes to 30,000. So the most that you see of, I feel like, of any band is... the 1,000 cap rooms, or not even, maybe even like the 200 cap, and then the
500,
and then you get the 30,000 cappers. The room in between is
very
so
limited.
And like, you know, you get the thousands, the people that draw the thousands on a headliner, you know, they're either on their way up skyrocketing or on their way down crashing. So,
and that House of Blues level, it's being weeded out. It's like the middle class of music,
mm-hmm.
and it's not really, it's hard to not only get there, but it's also hard to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to go above it, and it's very easy to go below it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very few bands, like when I saw like the Fray at the House of Blues, like it was packed, you know, and they'll always sell that kind of thing out, and that'll always be easy for them. But then other bands, you know, like I see at the House of Blues, you know, it's like, well, I mean, especially like metal bands like Black Dahlia Murder, you know, there's like 500 people, you know, and it's a 1200 cap venue roughly. So you're looking at like, okay, well, it's like there's that band that, you know, it's like, oh, we can play there because it's the House of Blues, but we won't sell it out. Like there's, it's hard to maintain that. And then to get beyond that is even harder, you know, to get to that 5,000 is like, whoa, you really got to want it, man. Like,
for sure.
It's incredibly
it's
crazy.
It's like I said, you're either like, if you're playing House of Blues, you're either skyrocketing if you're the headliner or you're on your way down to crash.
Yep.
So it's one of those two. There's no really in-betweens. It's very few bands that ever like Clutch. They have those like band that has this diehard following and they'll sell out House of Blues for the rest of their career, no problem.
Yeah.
And that's a very rare band. Like I can't think of many that go like on a House of Blues circuit that forever will be
but
all
those
right.
Are also bands like
they're still doing it,
those
yeah.
bands that aren't selling out. I mean, some of them, the ones that do sell out still, like, well, Black Dahlia Murder, I haven't
sure.
really, I don't pay attention to their lyrics and stuff
no.
much. But I really, really, really think that all of this stuff, like the fact that podcasts are even on, are even becoming a popular thing, the fact that people are seeking out
knowledge
mm-hmm. and conversations
and,
over
and other
music and stuff too,
yeah,
or over
yeah.
not just yeah over everyday radio
uh-huh.
and commercials, it really, really makes me think that people are eventually it's shifting. It's
uh-huh.
slowly shifting.
There's a shift,
especially
yeah,
with happens. All this flooded information we're all
yeah,
getting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
information age, man.
Yeah, and I truly think like. The music industry, we've seen, how many times have you seen it change, go back and forth,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Tons.
It's almost a matter of time until you
oh,
guys
yeah, the
are
dam
on the
will
forefront,
burst.
You know?
Yeah, the dam
it
will
really
burst.
Will.
Rock and roll is going to come through again, because, you know,
yeah.
and I'm not saying this, I'm like an old rock guy, like,
mm-hmm.
no, rock and roll is going to come through again, because rock and roll, still to this day, is the only music that's lasted all the test of time always to be the most seller.
Yeah.
And it's
the
authentic, there's an authenticism to
yeah.
it that
you
has...
the emotion.
It, yeah, and it's like, okay, we're going to be unique in our own right, but also retain the values that our forefathers of rock and roll had, and you know, Elvis and Led Zeppelin, the Beatles and things, Pink Floyd and Black Sabbath, those bands laid the groundwork. And to me now it's like what we're trying to do is re-spark our generation's awareness of how cool
yeah.
that was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do. It's like, well, you know, you're talking about literally an impossible, seemingly impossible goal. It's like
yeah.
you're literally trying to, like, we are trying to become, not become the voice of a generation. That's not the goal. The goal is to reach the widest audience possible out of sheer longing for humanitarian connection
mm-hmm.
over the art that we have. And that's something that, you know, now I think a lot of bands want to be big for reasons beyond helping people or even before that. It's like they just want the either A, status, or B, it's a better job than a banker,
yeah.
or C, you know, they find it such an ease of use. It's like, of course it's easy to be in a band if you look at it as a job.
Mm-hmm.
But if when you know, when you get to the nitty gritty, those people that do that, they don't last long. Their bands might last
exactly.
two records and they're like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes you become aware after an album or two that, okay, this is really hard. This is not easy. It's physically,
mm-hmm.
psychologically,
mm-hmm.
emotionally. This is tearing
yeah.
me apart.
Being on tour,
like,
is
I can't
one of the biggest
handle, yeah.
like mental things
it's
that
a
are
test
so hard.
Every time. Yeah. And it's like, wow, like it pushes you to your absolute limit. And if you don't love it, it separates the fakers from, you know, the pretenders from the reality, you know, the reality seekers. And those people that seek the truth and always want to be involved in music for pure reasons are the ones that get to that Foo Fighters level, you know, and that's the only way you can do it if you really love it. Like, the true love has to be there, and if it's not, it won't come out on top for very long.
So if you personally hear of an artist,
mm-hmm.
of an upcoming artist that you come across on Facebook, you hear them have a conversation like we're having tonight and about their ideals and goals and what they actually want and
sure.
achieve for their show
yeah.
and for their music, would that not make you fall in love with them?
Of course. I watched Dave Grohl, I watched like 2 hours of Dave Grohl footage earlier, just interviews with
mm-hmm.
him from this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he as a human being is fascinating to me, because my mom actually told me this the other day. She goes, I just love Dave Grohl because he just, every time I see him, he reminds me of you. And I love that she feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom actually feels, I felt for the first time in my life, like, oh, my mom does understand me a little
yeah.
bit, you know, because she's a teacher. But to me, it's like, this human is doing things that nobody ever thought were possible. To have like a 30,000 capacity following all over the world for what, 25 years some plus are they going on now?
Not even that. You know, you get Nirvana, which was really big already, and, you know, he's not only is he in one match, like, he defied the odds twice.
Yeah, and beyond that, it's like, things like this, like, you know, our guitar player Ryan's having a child, and so there are things that's like, oh, man, like, we came to a spot recently where we're like, what do we do? You know, we're not big enough to support, like, child support and, like, you know, like, the whole, like, insurance thing for his daughter. But then it was like, well, maybe we can Foo Fighters this thing. And Pat Smear, the guitar player of Nirvana, also was in the Foo Fighters' first incarnation, went away from the band for a few years. And that was okay because he was like, you know, I need a break. I don't really want to do it right now. I'm not feeling it. Passion's not there. Okay, so they bring in other guys. And then eventually Pat comes back in on top of the guy that they got. So they're now a three-guitar band. That's something that's like, oh, well, if Ryan can, you know, when we do start making money, there it is. You know, like, he's inspired us to kind of, it's like, that's never been done. Like, nobody did that before the Foo Fighters. Nobody was like, oh, yeah, old member, come on. You haven't been in the band in, what, 10 years? Come back in and just, let's be a three-guitar band. Why not? Like, why, we're a family. Fuck it. You know, that's beautiful. Like that's the thing I love about OYE is a family.
Yeah, like, we have this, like, really cool logo where, like, each person has, like, their own independent logo and it looks like a flag.
It's a Led Zeppelin ripoff. Yeah. I mean, we have a symbol, you know? It symbolizes who we are as a person.
Yeah, right? And then it goes flag-wise. So, like, you know, we took off our old drummer. And, you know, it was like, when we talked to him, I said, you know, I don't want your spot to be off there. Like, I still want you to be in the studio with us writing. Because, like, you know, if we're home, you could still come in and record with us at any time. Like, we're recording at Crown Point, like we are right now. You live 10 minutes from there. Like, why don't you just come down and still be part of the band? Why don't you still write? Why don't you still, you know, do this? Yeah,
be involved,
you know,
in the creative process.
And then, you know, like, why don't you come out and do the music videos? Like, you know, like, I still want him to be in the band. And then, you know, pretty much he has the keys to come and go whenever he pleases due to his, you know, daughter. Because
it's a situation we all understand.
We love Ryan to death. And Ryan's been, you know, outside of me and Justin, the only person that's been playing with each other for so long. Like, Ryan's been playing with us now for, like, 4 years, which is kind of crazy to think.
And I think the purity of his belief in us is what gave us, like, the comfortability to give him the access of, like, in and out anytime he needs. Because it's like, you look at the proofs in the pudding, man. Like, he's been in this band for better or worse, like, giving it his all, absolutely, for a few years now. And it's, like he said, that's not really happened with any other member. It's like, he's always been showing up on time, on fire, ready to do it, good attitude. You know,
even if it's not what Ryan wants to do, Ryan will do it.
Yep, and that's the thing. He's such a team player, and it's so,
like,
hard to find.
Justin and I are more like, it's going to be this way or the other. Like, when him and I will, like, say something like, oh, well, I want it to be this way. And then sometimes Justin will be like, I want it to be this way. And Ryan's like, whatever. We'll go with it. We'll make it work. And Ryan's like our glue to our band. Mm-hmm. So
That's kind of how I was when starting this podcast. I tried to start it last year, but I realized that there was just a lot more to go into it than I wanted to do. I just was going to do shitty audio recordings and kind of just start from that. But the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to make the first ones count and make it more like, because those are really going to be crucial to my audience and whether they keep listening.
I always try to give advice to bands when they're first coming out, because, you know what, the first thing you put out is going to be your first impression, and how serious you take that is how serious everyone else is going to take you.
Exactly. Yeah.